Hello guys, and welcome back to The Layup. On this second episode, I will be doing some NBA predictions for the NBA awards coming up. For each category, I will have a winner, a runner-up, and a dark horse. Dark horse meaning the player that everyone least expects to win, but I bet could win. And then towards the end of the show, I will be talking about the most recent news in the NBA. So let's get going. MVP, I have winner, I have Giannis Antetokounmpo, and for this choice, I chose Giannis because he is really leading his team, the Bucks, to an incredible season, and their best season in a while, and he's really carrying them, and he's been very good piece to build around for them, and he's just been on an offensive tear. And he's finally getting some support, Middleton and Bledsoe. Runner-up, we got James Harden. Just how could you ignore the run he's been on? Just he drops 50, and not many people are talking about it the next day, which is crazy to think about. And then for my dark horse, I have Paul George. I have him as my dark horse because he's been a very underrated player this year. For the Thunder, he's become their number one scoring option, and Westbrook's been a better facilitator and passer and rebounder. So, Paul George, not many people expect him to win MVP. It's possible if he stays, keeps playing the way he's playing. He got 43 last night against the Heat and made 10 threes, so that's my MVP. And then, Rookie of the Year, our winner, Luka Doncic. Obviously, I think Luka's running away with it, just because of all the plays he's making. He'll get some better support after that Kristaps trade next year, because Kristaps announced he won't be returning this season. But I think Doncic is the most unanimous choice for this, for any of the awards. Runner-up, I have DeAndre Ayton. He's been out for a little while, which made him slip, but he's still a very dominant player, and it has a good future with the Suns or whatever the Suns decide to do. Dark horse, I have Jaren Jackson Jr. He's putting up numbers for a Memphis team that surprisingly isn't winning basketball games. So Jaren Jackson could win the Rookie of the Year because he has been a very prolific scorer, and but it is not translated into winning. And I think he'll rise up with Conley and Gasol being talked about in trade talks, so he'll get a boost, maybe carry the offensive load a little more. And then for most improved player, I have Spencer Dinwiddie. This is kind of a easy choice for me. He's had many 30-point games where he just kind of took over, and he's a sixth man, so he's coming off the bench. But he's improved a lot from last year, and he's playing very well for a Nets team that's winning basketball games. And then I have runner-up. I have Pascal Siakam, who has really taken his game to another level. He's very athletic. He's long. He goes to the basket a lot. He's improved his jump shot, and he's playing for a winning team in Toronto Raptors. And then Josh Richardson, I have as the dark horse. He's having a much better season than he has last year, and he's kind of, with Goran Dragic out, he's carrying the offensive load more than he has ever had to in his career. And the Heat are surprisingly winning games. They're with all the injuries they've had. I mean, Waiters just came back from his injury. Hopefully, Dragic will be back soon. Good luck to the Heat and the Dwayne Wade farewell tour. For Coach of the Year, I have winner. I have Mike Malone because what the Denver Nuggets are doing cannot be overlooked because of how well they're playing. They're playing basketball very well. They're moving the ball, and they are tied for first place in the Western Conference, and a really talented conference, Western Conference. And with all the injuries they had, they just got Gary Harris back and Will Barton and Jamal Murray's been out. So it's scary to think what they'll be when they have everyone healthy, if everyone is ever healthy. Defensive player of the year. So for the winner, I think Kawhi Leonard, just because of how great of on-the-ball defender he is. He stops. He's a very good defender. He moves his feet. And then runner-up, I have Rudy Gobert. I think he should have been an all-star. He could be an all-star, but he got snubbed. I think that was one of the snubs. Him and Donovan Mitchell both got snubbed from the all-star game because Utah's winning games with Gobert's defense and Mitchell scoring. And I think Gobert playing defense is very blocking shots and being a good rim protector. And then the dark horse, I have Marcus Smart. And I am saying this because, not just because I'm a Celtics fan, but if you watch what Marcus Smart does on the ball and off the ball, he is a gnat to play against, to have to play against. And you always want him on your team. He's a guy that doesn't score a lot. He's improved his shooting, but he moves his feet, and it's tough to get by him. Sixth man of the year, another winner. I have Dinwiddie, so I have Dinwiddie winning most improved player and sixth man of the year. Runner-up, I have Monte Morris, because this is a guy not many people knew who he was. Like, you say Monte Morris, you don't get a picture in your head, but now you do. He's been the best player off the bench. Him and Malik Beasley have played very well, filling in the slots, next man up for the injuries that Denver has had. And then dark horse, I have Clarkson. I would have had him higher because he is playing for Cleveland and they are not a winning basketball team. So that's why I have him not as high, but he is the leading scorer on the Cavaliers, and he's a solid player. He makes shots, and I think he's a good player. He'll attract some attention. He's averaging 16.8 points a game, leading his team in scoring, and I think he'll get some attention. Maybe Cavs want to trade him, get something good for him, and he'll be a solid player in the NBA. He's still young, so. And that's it for my award predictions. I'm gonna have to get into all the buzz. It's been a very crazy week in the NBA, as far as trade talks, free agent signings, and there's also been some good games. Like, we're not even talking about the basketball games. Basketball games were good and everything else was good too. So we're gonna get into the Anthony Davis situation. I didn't really talk about it that much yesterday, but it's not a pleasant situation anywhere. He said his time is up in New Orleans, and I think that's a very mature way to say it. He's handling this situation much better than, per se, Kyrie Irving or Jimmy Butler was handling their situation, or Kawhi. So it shows the maturity of Davis, and we're going to get into the possible trades for Anthony Davis. The Lakers offered the Pelicans a deal for Anthony Davis, but the Pelicans were quote-unquote underwhelmed from the deal. I'll actually tell you what the deal was. But I think the Lakers have enough assets that, like, young players, and that they could give New Orleans, but I don't think their first offer was as good as what New Orleans wanted. So a lot of people are thinking that Anthony Davis to the Lakers, LeBron and Anthony Davis will be the dream team. I don't know, because they would give up so many. So this is actually what the Lakers offered. They offered Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, Michael Beasley, Rajon Rondo, and a first-round pick. I think if I'm the Lakers, I think the Pelicans are asking too much because you're losing guys. Rajon Rondo, who just signed with the Lakers, so he would be heading back to New Orleans, which wouldn't make any sense at all. Lonzo Ball, who's a young player, he had a very disappointing rookie year, but he's turning into a very good passer. And then Brandon Ingram, or no, not Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, who's a very good scorer, and he showed it when LeBron was out. So I think the Lakers are being too, I mean, I think the Pelicans are being too greedy. And I think the Lakers, I think at this point, just wait till free agency. I mean, don't wait till free agency because that's what Boston wants. They want Lakers, and they got to make a move if they want it to happen soon, because the trade deadline is next week. And then we'll break into the what happened at MSG last night. I was watching the game, that's why I had to go. But Kyrie got chance. From the New York fans, we want Kyrie. And particularly as a Celtics fan, I was kind of nervous because this yesterday morning, Kyrie said that he wasn't completely sure if he was going to re-sign with the Celtics, which is completely different than what he said in at the beginning of the season. He said, if you'll have me, I'm going to re-sign with you guys. And he got, we want Kyrie. And he said, ask me July 1st about who I'm going to sign with, which is a good approach if you're Kyrie. Because honestly, as a Celtics fan, this is just a distraction. And I think the Celtics need to start playing better basketball. They showed it last night, but I think that they need to focus on this season. And if the Celtics win a championship or get to the NBA Finals and then, per se, lose to Warriors in, like, say, 6 games, 7 games, then I think Kyrie will say, I think we have a good potential. This was only our second year as a full group. I think I'll stay here. But if they underachieve in the playoffs, then I think Kyrie will want to go, like, to New York or possibly even go to L.A., reunite with LeBron, which I think is really stupid, but that's just my opinion, because he left. Okay, sorry, my Celtic fan is coming out of me, because I'm frustrated with this situation. And then also, there's still Carmelo Anthony, a free agent, wants to sign with the Lakers. I honestly don't like Carmelo Anthony, and I don't think his value is very low right now. Not many teams want him. I think the Lakers are the only team that would possibly sign him, and then maybe include him in a deal to New Orleans. But I don't think Carmelo is going to be on a team for more than a year. I think we might just call it quits. Kristaps Porzingis said he's not going to play for Dallas this year. And he's been out since February, so that's almost a year he's been out. With his torn ACL, obviously. But he's not expected to return. So I think that was a gutsy move by Dallas. So we'll see what happens there, depending on Porzingis said he won't play, but with an ACL tear like that, I think better be careful. And like I said, Mike Budenholzer, Oh, I forgot to say my coach of the year. Sorry about that, but I said Mike Malone is the winner. Then runner-up, I have Mike Budenholzer because of the job he's doing in Milwaukee after having a couple, like, a good season in Atlanta in, like, 2016, and then not a great season, and then not a great season. So good for him. He's a good coach. And then dark horse, I have Kenny Atkinson because he's brought this Nets team that was not expected to do anything, like, not be good. And has brought them to the sixth spot in a very good Eastern Conference. And it's not like they're neck and neck with, like, Toronto. And they're also not neck and neck with Brooklyn. They're 2.5 games ahead of Charlotte. They're ahead of Miami. So I think this will be good for. And they also don't have LeVert and Dinwiddie, so they're facing adversity. And they're a young team, and Kenny Atkinson has them playing hard. Oh, let's go. Celtics are in the fourth slot because of that Victor Oladipo injury. So, and they're only a game behind Philly. So, Celtics have a game against. They're playing OKC on Sunday, 2 o'clock before the Super Bowl. And that will be a fun game to watch. Obviously, Paul George and Westbrook coming in, trying to keep their streak going. And then Celtics trying to get up in the standings. Well, this is going to be a short episode. So I will see you next time. It was just kind of, I felt like I wanted to do it. So I will see you next time with another video. Don't know what it's going to be about yet, but it will be about basketball. So, thanks for listening, and see you next time.